when we take ownership of who we are as individuals, regardless of what others say. It's who we are. When we own who we are and really step into our power and let go of what other people are saying or their thoughts, feelings, or emotions, next, hey, this is who I am. This is who I am.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. And we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour, Surviving to Thriving with Sharon Saylor. And oh my goodness, I'm so happy to be with you here. We're pre-recording today, if you can't tell from the bright sunlight on both our bright, shiny faces, if you're watching us on video. And I know those listening in podcast, you can't see that, but we're sitting here in sunlight today, which is awesome. And I am here with my dear friend, Terry Wildeman, and we both found ourselves in South Florida at the same time. So I was so excited. We said, let's record a show. So that's what we're doing right now. And Terry has this awesome gift, and she is the founder and a lead consultant for the company called Intuitive Leadership. And she has awesome books, business books about leadership, but she also has a lot of insight into trusting your gut, trusting intuition. And that's one of the things I say helped me become a thriver, was listening to myself when someone would give me recommendations, whether it was Eastern medicine, Western medicine, some sort of other thing. Trusting my gut, because I did do some things that are considered unconventional. So today we're going to talk with Terry about what we called together, we said, coming out of the closet. Things of, like, as Terry was mentioning, and when she first came out in business as part of that, she has a spiritual side, a very deep spiritual side to her. I'll let Terry tell the story, but it's so fascinating. And I had to agree with her when that first came out about me and my business world, too. It's a little scary. So welcome, Terry. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you, Sharon, for inviting me. The way this all landed is so much fun. And I'm sitting here in the backyard of my parents' home in this beautiful, beautiful, wonderful energy. And intuitively, I knew I needed to come out here. And it's a beautiful breeze going by. So I know this is going to be a great show because everything is working together to make it absolutely fantastic. And that's part of intuition. It's about trusting that everything is going to work out. It's about trusting that instead of going into that fear place, and fear stands for forgetting everything is all right, knocking that out.
I hadn't heard that acronym before.
Yeah, you know, that's an acronym that was actually, I learned it from Abraham, that who is channeled through Esther Hicks. And, you know, they say that fear is forgetting everything is all right. And if you drop the F, it's everything is all right. So when you think of fear, it can really bring your energy levels down. But if you remember to drop that F and focus on ear, everything is all right, you're hearing, you're listening, and you're listening and hearing in a way that you can trust yourself brilliantly, trust your intuition brilliantly, because that's where you're choosing to go. And when we, oh wow, look at how the wind lifted us the moment I said that. That's a big deal. And this is called third level listening. I just said that. That is a big deal. So that's about really focusing in on that. That when we truly listen and remember that everything is all right, things are going all around us are going to conspire to ensure that everything is all right. And it's about listening to the images that we see, the voices that we hear, the feelings that we have, right? Then that inner knowing that sometimes we're like, why do I know this? Yeah. You know, and when we listen to those parts of ourselves, our wise inner guidance system, which the acronym, which it cracks me up, is called WIGS. Which hat do I have on now? It's WIGS. When we listen to our whys and our guidance system, magic happens. And sometimes it's like, this isn't practical, but it still works out beautifully.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know when in the healing process, when we first get a diagnosis, fear is sort of that first reaction, like, oh my gosh, what did I just hear? And oftentimes you get a diagnosis that is not delivered in a very safe, reassuring manner. It's delivered like, get real, and all of this terrible prognosis, like this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Right. It's really hard to know that everything's going to be all right in those moments.
It is. You know, may I share my very, very personal story about that?
Absolutely.
Okay. And I don't remember if I talked about this, Sharon, in our last show or not, so I'm just going to go with it. When I was 8 years old, I always knew that I was going to have two children and adopt one. It was just something that I always knew. And my parents would question me, why would you want to adopt? I said, Mom, I don't know. I just know that there's so much love in the world that I want to adopt a child. I'm not going to have three of my own. I'm going to have two and adopt one. So as I got older, we found out that I had a lot of physical challenges, specifically endometriosis, severe, severe, severe endometriosis, which really affected my life in a very, very deep, deep way. And four doctors told me I could never have children. And my intuition kept saying, hold tight, yes you will, yes you will, yes you will. Well, the fourth doctor, she was amazing. And she said, I don't know if you can, but we are going to prepare your body.
Awesome.
Okay. And so that gave me hope. But I always stuck to my guns because of this inner knowing. And by the way, at that time, I was not out of the spiritual closet, okay? I believed in angels. I believed in intuitions. I believed in how I felt, okay? But I didn't really understand it all. And I got married. We had our 32nd anniversary coming up.
Congratulations.
And I got pregnant 3 weeks later.
Wow.
My first child was born 9 months and 2 days after my wedding day. And then I had a second 4 years later. And then we adopted our third. And my son and my oldest daughter have the same birthmark on their upper thigh.
Wow. Okay.
So does it sound crazy? You know, who are we to question the universe? Who are we to question when miracles like that happen? Miracle that I had the first one. Believe me, it was a miracle I had the second one because it put me in a wheelchair. Okay. The third one, a birthmark on the same leg. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. So I don't question it anymore. I just follow my intuition, follow my inner guidance. And as practical and grounded as I am, I know that when I don't listen to those intuitive hits, I always regret it. Always.
Awesome. Yeah. Not too long ago, a dear, dear friend shared with me this concept of, and go with me here, Terry, that the body is an anchor for the spiritual being. And I was so impressed by that. And I got to thinking, and now you just shared what the doctor said to you. We have to prepare the body.
Yes.
And for what to be. And I'm thinking in the terms of healing, how a couple of things come to mind is that preparing the body for the intuition to happen, preparing the body to allow, because I think a lot of times when you're growing up, I was very intuitive growing up, but it was sort of squashed out of me by many people.
That's real.
Yeah, and it took a long time to come back to that place of like, no, I know. And you had mentioned also in telling your wonderful story there about listening to your body.
Yes.
And that when we're going through what I'll call the world of recovery from autoimmune, that too is often smoshed out of us by doctors saying no. I remember having side effects from medication. And the doctors are, I, one of them was hair loss, which is so obvious. It's like, you know, it's coming out in clumps. And they have the nerve to look in your face and say, that doesn't happen. And I'm like, not only am I not trying, then you begin to question yourself. And that's so unfair to be put in that place of questioning yourself when it's obvious your hair is falling out in clumps.
Well, you know, talking about hair falling out in clumps, right after I started my leadership center, I owned a leadership center from 2001 to 2009. And I want to say it was maybe a year and a half, 2 years afterwards. Things were tight. I ended up opening my leadership center 10 days before 9/11.
Well,
and, and it was a professional development organization. Everybody cut. Everybody cut. Everybody. So it was challenging to get contracts to and keep the overhead going. I went to Hawaii and came back and went to go get my hair cut. My hairdresser screamed. I'm like, what the heck? I had short hair, but what happened was it was the way it was cut, I didn't see that I had a hole about this big in the back of my head.
Wow.
And for those that are listening to the audio, it was about 2.5 to 3 inches round, a soft spot back here. And it was alopecia, stress history. I'm saying it's stress-induced alopecia. So I went to the doctor, to the dermatologist, and he said to me, well, that's not even going to begin to grow back until a year from now, at least. And he wanted to give me all these creams and this and this and this. And I went, I will figure this out myself. No, thank you. And I told him, I said, you watch, my hair will be fully grown back by the end of the year. And I was teaching at the leadership school. I was doing a program for commanding officer spouses, the spouses who were going to take command on their ships. We're a Navy family, as you know, but the audience may know. Sorry about that. I mean, we're a Navy military family. We were training the spouses and helping them in leadership and taking on their leadership roles. And while I was sitting there during one of the presentations, I was writing in a journal. And I'm just writing and writing, trying to figure out what this was all about, because it wasn't my turn to stand up and whatever and teach. And all of a sudden, I wrote something. And the back of my head started to scream. It was very hot. It was like a poker.
Wow.
It was back there. And I looked at what I wrote, and it had to do with money. It had to do with finances. It had to do with not believing enough in myself that I would be able to attract what I needed to attract. And I realized that every time, and it's still a little hot back here, believe it or not, that's my cue. When I'm not behaving myself, maybe it's about talking, maybe because we're talking about this, but it's right in this one spot here. It gets warm anytime I start to talk about money. That's how powerful the body is. And within a year, I trusted, I listened, everything fell into place. My hair grew back, as I told the dermatologist who refused to believe me. And it was because I trusted my intuition and I'd listened to the messages that my body was telling me. You know, so look at this crown chakra. This is the third eye. What do you not want to see? Crown chakra. Going up, you know, this is the third, you know, in the third eye, what did I not want to see? And this part is connected right to the third chakra. And then going up to the top, the crown chakra, connecting with above and not listening to my intuition. And I realized when I put two and two together, I went, I'm not walking that talk.
That's awesome. And also listening to your own body in other places or having friends. I've told this story before, but share it again. For the longest time, a few years ago, I was having trouble with my shoulder, and I couldn't figure out why. And I have a dear, dear friend who's been my massage therapist for 35-plus years, and she's working on it, trying to loosen it up, and we're both, finally, she gets an intuitive hit. And she says, well, Sharon, if we take the knife out of your back, everything will be fine. But then I thought, well, why do I have a knife in my back? And I went through my journal and replayed what had been happening during these times, I realized there was a specific pattern to it. And then once I saw the pattern, I was like, oh, I get it. And the shoulder's been fine ever since.
Exactly. The mind-body connection is so powerful. When we go into that fear place and don't listen, who's responsible for that? We are. So if we really listen, I love Louise Hay and her work, You Can Heal Yourself. I really, really do. And she opened the door for me of helping me understand, she and Abraham, helping me understand that our health, we really can manage our health. One of the things that I realized was I was constantly talking about every ache and pain to everybody that would listen. Right? This was in my 20s and 30s. I was constantly talking about it. And what I own, and I own this, oh, by the way, because it's how I was raised, frankly. We have medical doctors. I have a family of medical doctors. Okay? So they all talk about health. It's always poor health because they want to fix this, they want to fix that, whatever. And what I realized was I was constantly talking about poor health. And when I listened to Louise Hay and I listened to Abraham, what I realized is that's what I was putting my attention on. I wasn't putting my attention on attracting great health. I did, by the way, with the endometriosis, I did. I wanted to heal it very badly, and I would pray for that. But it wasn't until in my 30s when I was introduced to both Louise Hay and Abraham that I really started to get it about what we talk about, what we constantly focus on. We expand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the more I stopped talking about poor and ill health and only focused on great health with the way I spoke, with the way I acted, being in complete authenticity and integrity, following the four agreements, for example, the more I followed that kind of lifestyle, the healthier and healthier and healthier I have become. And now in my 60s, I gotta tell you, I'm the healthiest I've ever been because I'm walking my talk. And when I don't, trust me, my body tells me in a huge way.
And I think that's one of the things you and I were chatting about recently, about this idea of authenticity. And as you and I have shared in the intro here, coming out of the closet and allowing ourselves to be who we are. Too often we allow outside forces to not say that we have certain spiritual concepts or that we know that we're intuitive, or many times we've trusted our gut and it's worked out great. Mm-hmm. Or the times that we can reflect back when we didn't trust our gut, we heard the message and we didn't trust our gut, it didn't turn out so well. And right. Oftentimes we allow others to, as I use that word, smosh it us back into inauthenticity.
I love that word.
And I'm thinking of a time, this was a few years ago, I was driving on a very narrow four-lane road. It was four lanes, but they were very narrow, the kind that make you a little nervous, you know, that people are a little too close. And I kept hearing in my mind, move right, move right. And I didn't. I kept arguing like, no, then I'm too close to the parked cars. I'm worried that I might, you know, skid across these parked cars. No, I want the center lane here. And this went on for, it seemed like a long time, but reflecting back, probably 5 or 10 seconds, this internal argument. Lo and behold, there was a car in that lane, stopped to turn left. I stopped, everything was fine. And 2 seconds later, a 5-car pileup pushed me into that car in front of me. And that from then on, I just, now whenever I hear that voice going, move right or do this or do that, I don't argue, I'm just, okay. taught me a valuable lesson.
I have a very similar story, which actually happened 30 years ago. We were stationed in Alexandria, Virginia, and I went out to, I took my dog, my 10-month-old, to a Chinese restaurant to say goodbye to a friend because we were being stationed to Maple, Florida. And when we left, I put her into her little car seat. And at that time, they're not like the car seats of today. It was this beige-looking bucket. College bucket, and it was a bucket. I got her in there nice and tight and pulled out. I hadn't had my seatbelt on. I pull out into a pretty busy street, but I'm hearing, put your seatbelt on. I'm like, yeah. The inner dialogue you were just talking about. And I pull back into the, you know, I pull out into the street, put your seatbelt on. Yeah. And I'm ignoring it. Finally, the third time, it was so loud, I got yelled at. Put your seatbelt on. Ow! I put my seatbelt on. Okay, do it. I was at a light. I'm doing it. Okay. So I went forward a little bit, and there was another intersection. I was at a six lane intersection. Okay, I was crossing the intersection, and of course, there goes the. Sorry, there goes the air conditioning. I hope you can still hear me. the light turned green. I went through, and all of a sudden my car was stopped. My face had hit the steering wheel. I looked up. I was sitting under the light. It was green. And attached to my car was another car.
Wow.
And it had taken off my whole front end. And it was a 19-year-old drunk driver that hit us. And luckily, we were both okay, beat up, banged up. My daughter had contusions all up and down her little body. I had just gotten out of a neck brace because I had been rear-ended the year before that. So they just stuck a neck brace on me and slapped me down and bada bing, bada boom. And I was thinking, as they were rushing us to the hospital, what would have happened if I had not listened? Because in those days, cars did not have airbags.
Right.
So I listened, just like you. I listened. Thank God I listened.
Absolutely. We need to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back with Terry, we're going to talk about what it's like when you first agree to with yourself that you're going to start talking about your authenticity, who you really are, and being transparent and vulnerable with that. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour, Surviving to Thriving. And we are enjoying a great talk today about showing up authentically with who we really are with Terry Wilderman. She is the founder and consulting leader of Intuitive Leadership, as well as an author and international speaker. And Terry's been sharing with us what it's like to trust your intuition, trust what those messages are, listen to not only yourself, but whatever else is happening, as well as we've been talking about how scary it is when you start doing that. And I'll say my word for today has been smoshing. I don't know where that's coming from, but how sometimes outer forces try to smosh you into their reality. Like I've, Terry, been told the phrase numerous times, get real, Sharon. When I told them I did not agree with their diagnosis, and I had to be very careful with how I said that because I agreed that, yes, currently, this moment, I have a problem. You know, this is not good, right?
Nice.
But it was the continuing diagnosis of, get real, Sharon, this is your life, this is how it's going to play out, and you know, it's always really awful. And when I said, no, I'm going to, that's not going to be my life, It was really hard. People kept telling me, Sharon, get real. As if that was going to make me well. It didn't, that intuitively didn't make sense to me. Intuitively, it makes sense to keep it in the positive frame, that this is a momentary experience I'm going through. So let's talk about, how are some of the ways, we're going to use the word, how did you come out with your spirituality and your intuition? Because I know in business, sometimes that's really frowned upon.
It really is frowned upon. And what often happens is we get smoshed, to use your words, in the workplace. And whether you're in a business meeting, and that's what the book, The Enchanted Boardroom, is about, to teach people how to tap into their intuition, to understand how to integrate the practical and logical with the emotional, the energetic, the intuitive, and the spiritual, so that they're working on all cylinders. Because when you do that, you're using all of your gifts, all of them. The practical mind cannot be put aside. That's not where I'm going. I'm talking about including it and bringing it together, smashing, to use your word, smashing it all together in a really beautiful package where we pull on each of our gifts at just the right moment in time. And when it's all integrated, we become very, very powerful and own who we are as individuals. And it took a really long time for me to get to that place. Even though I've been teaching intuitive leadership since I opened my center in 2001, even then there was always this huge fear. I'm not going to kid you. It was this huge fear about being taken seriously, not being believed. I had one training program end that I ended because one woman in this team building training program was so fearful that I was creating a cult. Because the word holistic was in my name at the time. It was called the Winds of Change Holistic Education and Leadership Center. She was so convinced, and what happened was it became insidious. She infused the rest of the people on the team, and there were people who really wanted to stay there, but they made it so miserable for me to be able to train. It was basic communications and leadership. I'm like, you know what? This is too hard, and it doesn't feel good. And I went to the town administrator and said, I'm done. I'm not doing this. Your people are, they were very pessimistic, very, very skeptical. And it was very difficult. And this was in 2006, 2007. So when I closed the center, I constantly had people saying to me, Terry, I was ahead of my time. You're ahead of your time. Now companies are really opening up. They're really understanding that this really needs to be a part of the workplace culture. Because, you know, they used to say, leave your emotions at the door. They now recognize that you need those emotions and to be able to operate in the workplace. What I say is, leave your drama at the door.
Okay? Better. Yeah, that's better.
Leave the drama at the door and bring your emotions with you. Because no matter how practical you are, emotions are the drivers for your practicality. Your need to be perfect. Your need to be able to do everything right, your need to fix this project or do that project from a logical and practical perspective is driven by emotions. And when we recognize that emotions are our drivers, mentally, physically, and emotionally, okay, and intuitively, and they operate, they're what drives our bodies. Our bodies are wonderful, wonderful signals to what's working and what's not working. And a beautiful example of that are hips. Hips are about moving towards large projects. And when I was writing The Enchanted Boardroom, my right hip was a mess, an absolute mess. And every day, it was probably the worst I had ever been, but I was also in the most fear I had ever been in writing a book. This was my third solo book, okay? And I'm sorry, my second solo book. I'm writing my third solo book now. And I had written six co-authored books. But the fear with The Enchanted Boardroom was owning me. It was controlling me. Even teaching all this stuff, I was so scared to come out of the angel closet. And that's what I did. I came out of the angel closet. I started talking about angels and business towards the very end of the book. I'm talking about intuition and how our intuition's connected to our learning styles. I really got into this place. And when I went to the doctor, this was 7 months of this, I went to the doctor and they did MRIs on my hips and all this other stuff. And I would go to my chiropractor and he said, Terry, you are in much more pain than I've ever seen you compared to what I'm seeing in the x-rays. And then my regular doctor said, you're headed for a hip replacement. I go, watch me. No, I'm not. This is all about my book. He's looking at me like I'm nuts. He's looking at me like I'm crazy because my hip was hurting so badly. And he's like, your hip replacement material. I go, no, I'm not. Trust me. This is all going to go away when this book is done. And you should see the look on his face. Like, I am in la la land. Just like what you're experiencing, Sharon.
Yeah,
and sure enough, a week after I turned in the manuscript, guess what? Like magic, it all went away. It
Absolutely.
All went away. So when we listen to our intuition, I mean, imagine if I had allowed them to cut into me. Imagine if I had allowed them to do a hip replacement because they wouldn't believe me. No. Why?
Yeah.
You know, why?
This all aligns with some of our other people that they haven't called it intuition or angels or the spiritual part, but I'm thinking of Sarah Payton and her work with the neurobiology and our emotions. Yes. And how when we come to terms with am I safe and do I matter, those two important questions to us,
beautiful.
Everything attunes and aligns. But it's listening to those inner voices, whether we call it intuition or whether you know that it's angels, or maybe you just say it's your inner voice or your inner knowing.
Yes.
Sometimes it's a feeling too.
Which absolutely.
We've had Dr. David Clark on who talks about, it's just about coming to terms with certain things that have happened in your life too, mm-hmm. as well as being able to go through past traumas, past fears, and realize that where you were then is not where you are now. And I think that's so important for us too, is that in that healing process, besides listening to ourselves, realizing that the past doesn't make the present. You have this option to change.
Well, one of the big things that I work with my clients are mission driven entrepreneurs and leaders. Because I am a holistic practitioner, I do EFT, I do NLP, I created my own emotional release technique process. One of the things that we do when we're creating, working towards elevating their businesses, is we start with you first. We start with the person first. And oftentimes they have all these physical ailments. And I go in and I clear trapped emotions. And some of these emotions often go to situations back to five, under the age of five, and sometimes pre-birth even. You know, they can be past life, during birth, after birth. And we clear these trapped emotions and they feel so much better. And they're like, how did you do that? How do you know that? And we work with the main meridian. As you know, with acupuncture points, we have meridians throughout our body. And we work with the main meridian to be able to clear some of those trapped emotions. And it's amazing how they begin to heal physically and emotionally by clearing out this trapped stuff. And everything that your guests have talked about, it's all integrated in all of that. You know, we are such amazing beings, and these trapped emotions that hide in our bodies, if we release them, allow the bodies to heal. I myself am blown away because I do this every day on myself in my meditations. I'm constantly releasing and healing and releasing and healing. And when I think I've healed one situation, all of a sudden the symptoms come up and it's another facet. We're diamonds. And, you know, it's like we're gigantic diamonds with lots of facets, and one situation can have many, many facets. And when we heal the trapped and hidden emotions that are behind those facets, that's where a lot of healing comes in. And it allows us to get clear out the fears and moving forward in our careers, moving forward in our relationships, moving forward in our businesses, and allows us to really be the people that we're meant to be. And it just stops the pain. I mean, I know when I get a migraine, let's look at the word migraine. Migraine. What's going against your grain?
That's a nice migraine.
And when I get a migraine, and believe me, I get them. Usually it's because I've eaten something I should not have eaten, and I knew I shouldn't have eaten, and I wake up the next morning not being able to barely open my eyes, the light's coming in, and I'm like, yeah, got it. Got the message. I did it to myself again, you know? So
One of the things that are fascinating to me is this concept of, as you're talking, the other word that comes to mind that some people call it is like triggers.
Yes, triggers, exactly.
When I first started, you know, I think we all, when we're young, just automatically respond to a trigger.
Yes.
But now I'm more aware of when I first, there's that twinge where you realize, oh, trigger, oh, ouch.
Ouch, yes. But and sometimes it's mega ouch.
Yes, winged me there. But knowing at that moment, instead of reacting with the typical, the past reaction that might have happened, maybe explosive anger, whatever it would be, getting, you know, getting back or whatever you might put onto that, I always put it into the frame, when that happens, I go, ouch. And then the next question I've trained myself is, isn't that interesting?
I like that.
Because then what I do is I begin to unwind is, wow, what just happened? And I can replay the tape going, okay, when this happened, I responded that way. I took the moment then to go, that's not the most helpful response. What is the response that would lead me in the right direction, whether it's healing or, you know, emotional recovery?
I love that.
It is. And you know what I find is triggers can be so simple. The one that I find so funny, because at my age now, a lot of people are wearing readers. And one of the things we do is we pull them down on our nose to look over the magnifier, right?
Yes, we do.
I tend to do that myself. But the problem is, whenever I see someone do this, and I'm doing it on the video now, and that's putting the glasses on the end of my nose and looking over the top, it triggers me to a teacher that used to do this every time to scold us as children.
Ah.
It triggers me. I see that person's face. I immediately go back to being a child in that moment where that ouch happened. And then I took me a while when I saw that happen. I go, isn't that interesting? Then I had the intuition, the hit, the memories of, oh, I'm seeing this teacher. And I'm seeing myself or some other class member be, quote unquote, as she used to say, put in their place.
Wow.
And that was, you know, decades ago, Terry. And you
sure.
You find you still react to it quickly decades mm-hmm. later.
But that's a trapped emotion.
Yeah.
And that's where you use either EFT, Ho'oponopono, the emotional release technique, any type of thing like that to clear out the emotions attached to the trigger. It doesn't mean you're going to forget the memory, but you just release the emotional side of that trigger.
Yeah.
So it doesn't trigger you in the future.
Yeah. That's it's so fascinating. But just taking that moment when you feel that ouch, instead of reacting, playing the tape back and going, where is this coming from? Why, you know, this is odd. This is
and that's important.
This is interesting.
That's really important to do, because I'll tell you, once you clear out those scenarios, healing begins. Your body starts to feel better. It just does. The body is an amazing thing, and it's amazing how we hold on to things. And I do believe that this is just my personal belief system, that we are here in. I believe very much in reincarnation. I studied reincarnation for 2 years. It's 2 years, and had some amazing experiences. And I do believe that we are spiritual beings having a human experience here, because our souls need to learn something. And I believe that we come back in soul groups. And it's almost like a play that, you know, people play different roles to assist us to learn different things. And one of the things that I know about and I really believe all that with my whole heart and soul, because of the studying and the work that I do and the things that I've seen with people, even on my table when I used to do Reiki and things that would come up. And what I know is all these triggers and all these scenarios and all these things that happen to us happen because we either have taken oaths in past life that we haven't released yet, so we come here in this life, and we begin to release these oaths and release these things that are triggered and go back in our DNA. Science is proving, by the way, proving this with just articles a few weeks ago, that in our DNA cells, we are carrying memories of our forefathers, of our generations and generations of memories in our DNA. So think about that. If we're carrying these memories in our DNA, and we release the negative parts of it, we can actually help to shed some of the trauma, the emotions that trigger a lot of the diseases that we have in this lifetime. It's an amazing thing, our bodies and our DNA. It's amazing. And generations of stuff, like dominoes just falling down, when we take ownership in this lifetime and listen to our intuition and heal the stuff that we're going through. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. We need to take one last quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Terry some more about trusting our intuition and whatever other rabbit holes we find. So we'll be right back.
There's been a lot of them.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon. Recently, I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour, Surviving to Thriving. And oh my goodness, we've just been having an awesome time talking about all sorts of things with Terry Wildeman, the head of Intuitive Leadership, as well as her book, The Enchanted Boardroom. And some of the things we've been talking about, and I know Terry and I love to go down rabbit holes too. We talk about this all the time off our recording here, is things like trusting ourselves. Some of the things that Terry and I talk about are all the ways that we keep ourselves small or in the closet. Yes. Whether it's our self-esteem or our worthiness, or we're too afraid to talk about something because somebody might think something of us that isn't right. Maybe I think I'm overweight, or I'm too small, I'm too tall, whatever it is, and how we keep ourselves trapped in who we are not really meant to be. So Terry, let's talk a little bit about these other types of closets that we've been calling them that we keep ourselves trapped in. Talk to me about a closet is dark and only one way out and all those sorts of things. So let's talk a little bit about.
And that's what it often feels like. You know, I use the term closets globally because there are so many different types of closets, and we each have different closets that we need to open the door to. And just like you said, it could be self-judgment, it could be lack of self-esteem, it could be keeping ourselves not owning up to things. You know, these closets can be all-encompassing, and we can feel very lonely and very tight in these closets. And some of these closets can be really, really huge, and some of them can be very, very small. It all depends on who we are and how big the situation is. And I know for myself, I kept myself in the intuitive and angel closet for a very, very long time. And I came out of the intuition closet first because it was safer to talk about intuition in the workplace. It, you know, people talk about, oh my God, I feel it in my gut. That's a common term in the workplace. In corporate America, it's safe to say, I'm listening to my gut. And in the military, I'm listening to my gut. People understand that concept. But when you talk about intuition, some people like...
It's the same thing. It's just a different word.
It's the same thing. They don't connect that feeling in your gut is intuition. All right. And they begin to look at you in La La Land because you happen to use the word intuition. Hello. Guess what? Intuition and gut is the same thing. Gut is a part of intuition. And each of us, like I said, we're either clairvoyant, clairaudient, claircognizant, clairsentient. And what that means is the clairvoyant people see images, and we're also visual learning styles. The clairaudient folks, they hear things, and they tend to be, they're the audio folks who are listening to this broadcast instead of looking at the video, okay? So hearing things, it's much sharper for them. The claircognizant piece is those that just know things, that it is deep intuition. They just know where to go and what to do. For example, there may be a test, or there may be something that they need to do a work, and they just know to go to this place and they don't know why, okay? Clairvoyant, clairaudient, claircognizant, clairsentience. Clairsentience is a feeling. That's when you get the goosebumps. That's where you get all of you just, your body tells you, and it could be through an ache or a pain or something going on. That's clairsentience, right? So your body is telling you, yes, no, don't go there. Yes, go there. You know, so that's the clairsentience.
What's the closet that comes to my mind that I hear a lot about with people when I talk to them with autoimmune? I find a lot of people with autoimmune are highly sensitive people, yeah. And that's a term, everyone, that's
yes.
a true term.
Yes.
Or very empathetic.
Yes.
Empath. I find a lot of people that have an autoimmune condition tend to fall into those categories.
And it makes sense.
And I think a lot of times they have kept themselves in the, we'll say, the empath closet or the highly sensitive closet, because too often they'll hear terms growing up and whatever, that is bad to be sensitive. It is bad to be empathic. And then when we come out of the empath closet, it's so freeing to just be, this is who we are, the authentic self.
And it really is. And that's where we need to take ownership of being an empath and take ownership of who we are. I'm highly empathic. I'm going to share with you an example of that. A year ago, May, my oldest daughter, my husband, and I went to New York City because that's where she wanted to go. It was her 30th birthday, and she wanted to see a Broadway show. The one thing I said to them is, I cannot go to the 9/11 memorial. I can't go there. I just don't want to go there. And we started getting lost. We were walking through New York, and we pretty much knew what we wanted to do and not do. And suddenly, I started to shake. I got physically sick. My head started to spin. I got very nauseous. And I looked at my husband and my daughter. I'm like, where the heck are we? And we were literally, and neither my husband or my daughter realized it, and they know this about me, that kind of stuff affects me physically. We were about to cross the street to go towards the 9/11 museum.
Oh, wow.
And they both looked at me and looked at each other going, oh God, here we go. Because I just felt it so deeply. And they did go through the museum. I did not. I stayed outside. I stayed in the fountain area because it is beautiful. I was able to control it. I was able to put up my shields and do what I needed to do. But it's about owning who we are. And my husband and daughter know that. They know I can't go to those places because I'm too empathic.
Something wonderful about that fountain area. To me, water, being near water, yes. that's moving like that, is always helpful when there's a disruption. Yeah, and it's a way to calm your body down, is being near moving water.
And that's what I did. I actually went to the fountains and was able to calm everything down. But they were blown away that, like I said, we were lost. We didn't know where we were. And that I felt that I got so physically ill so fast. We need to take, and I don't like to say the word we need, because need equals lack. Okay. When we take ownership of who we are as individuals, regardless of what others say, it's who we are. When we own who we are and really step into our power and let go of what other people are saying or their thoughts, feelings, or emotions, next, hey, this is who I am. This is who I am. And you and I started talking about this with being empathic and listening to our intuition. 2 months ago, I was sitting on the couch, and I've been nudged a lot lately to come out of this angel closet. And I did come out of it with the enchanted boardroom. But I wasn't owning it because I was still too scared. Okay. And 2 months ago, sitting on the couch, the next thing I know, my Facebook page, Angels in Business, popped up.
Remember when you started, you were talking, we have a group of friends, and all of a sudden, there's Tara just to look. And you know what was so awesome? I remember that so clearly, Terry. You were transparent and vulnerable, and yet...
I'm scared out of my gourd.
Yes, this is the awesome thing I think is important for people to realize. A lot of other people at that moment validated and came out of the closet at that moment.
They did. Yeah. And then that changed. I knew Angels in Business wasn't quite right. It was just listening to the nudge of getting things done. And then it changed to Powered by Angels. And I knew that that still wasn't it, but it felt really good. And then I expanded the name of the page to Powered by Angels and Intuition. And that happened after I did a speech in New York where I talked about trusting your intuition to succeed brilliantly. And sure enough, one of the women there, she could not stay for my specific speech, but she was watching it online. And she sent me an email saying, you are professional. You are grounded. I got the intuition piece. I'm right there with you. But when I saw this grounded woman talk about angels, you threw me. Because the people in her world who talk about angels are very, what she said, these are her words, woo-woo.
Yeah, and that's a common word we hear.
Yeah, woo-woo. And she said, but coming out of your mouth and my sharing the stories that I shared, she said, you have given me pause and I am now rethinking things, looking at things. So what we're doing now is we're creating a new show called Your Seventh Sense, Powered by Angels and Intuition. And we're looking at launching it at the end of August and September. And we're going to be talking about these types of things and talking about incorporating this very powerful gift that everyone has in one way, shape, or form, and just learning how to listen to our intuition so that we can live a very strong, powerful, and truly integrated lifestyle.
One of the things I want to reflect back on for people, Terry, that and this has all been very powerful, but I also want to reflect back on for just the few minutes we have left. If you listen to Terry's story there, there was an understory there of it was a process.
Yes.
It wasn't just a bam, big bang moment where it all came into clear view. Most often, even in the healing, it's a process. The body continues to heal, the mind heals, the emotions heal, and we continue to transform to now where Terry has this awesome show coming up, and I equate that to how we heal, that over time it transforms to be what it's meant to be.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is the more I am owning that side of myself, the better and better I am feeling on all levels. Instead of running away in fear of who I'm meant to be and who I am, I have chosen to run towards it. And whoever wants to play in that sandbox, hey, come join me.
True. It's awesome. Too often we try and talk ourselves out of things. Even before other people try and talk us out of it, we're trying to talk ourselves out of it.
Too That's often, right.
Like, oh, well, that can't be. Like your vision with your daughter and the tire. I mean, how often would most people just go, what? Well, that's weird. That's just some movie I remember or some strange deja vu thing or something. Anyway, I want to make sure that we have enough time for people to know about how to get a hold of you. So we just down to the last couple minutes, Terry. Be sure and share about how people can find out more about you and your books and your work.
Thank you so much. Well, they can type in my name, Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, Wildeman, W-I-L-D-E-M-A-N-N, and they can see The Enchanted Boardroom, Unlock the Power of You on Amazon. And they can connect with me on Facebook at Intuitive Leader, on Twitter at Leader Intuition, and on LinkedIn at www.linkedin.com/IN Terry Wildeman. My website, it's intuitiveleadership.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Terry, for sharing with us. And it's a joy to see you down here with me in sunny Southern Florida for the time being.
And I'll tell you, it's been a blast here because I'm watching the salamanders, the butterflies. The universe has been literally working with this conversation in ways that you cannot even imagine.
You know what I loved? Before we went on the air, I was sharing with Terry, when I first got here just a couple of days ago, where I stay down when I'm down here, the yard has been filled for the last few days with the most amazing dragonflies that have tiger stripes. It's just awesome. I've never seen anything like it. And when you step out, 30 can just flutter from the yard. Always just take those moments, everyone, and enjoy them when they happen. As Terry said, when she was talking and a butterfly landed on her hand.
Yes.
Really take some time and enjoy those moments because they're really profound. So really enjoy those and have a great weekend, whatever your adventures. And join me next Friday for another show. We bring you a brand new episode every Friday. We're doing them in podcast, as you know. And we're also doing them, go over to YouTube. You'll find them in videocast as well. And the transcripts are up on understandingautoimmune.com. So be sure and go over there. As I said, have a great weekend and join me next Friday, everyone. Enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio.